Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro Call. Today is April 1st, April Fool's Day, and those of you who listen to this before the call starts, you see where that comes from. So mostly me, I think. Want to welcome those of you who are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording. I love that you're doing either one, but I also really appreciate it when you take the time and put it on live and join the conversation. A couple things before we get started. First off, if you have not had an opportunity to take a look or ever to join us in the Water Quality Association in D.C. for the D.C. fly-in, this year it is virtual. They're doing it virtual, and it's coming up on, I believe, April 30th is when it is, and it's free to go in. I just really would encourage you to take a look at that. Go to WQA.org. And join in on the virtual DC fly-in. This is where, under normal circumstances, the members of WQA will actually literally fly in. Or last year, I took a train in to DC, and we spend the day speaking with various legislatures and talking to there's usually some excellent presentations and it's really a great time. This year, obviously, we're not going to be meeting individually with the House or Senate members, but we are, we are going to be doing, there are some presentations and some information there. It just kind of gives you a pulse of what's happening legislatively around the country in regards to our industry. It becomes pretty relevant. I would strongly encourage you to take a look at that and join in that. I posted this on Motor Vitality's Facebook page and our social media. Corey, I don't know if there's a way we can put a link to this up anywhere else on our social media, but John Oliver on his HBO show last week tonight, this last week, he did a segment on plastics, which was really, really good. It was there was a lot of great information on what the numbers meant, the recycling numbers, and what percentage of the plastics that we use are actually recycled, where they're recycled, where they go when they're not recycled. It was really a pretty powerful segment. It's about 20 minutes long, and it's just really good. A lot of great information in it. So I'd encourage you to take a look at that. If you have not watched it, I would encourage you to take a look at it. And some of your customers probably will have watched it. And I think it's one of those things that that you're going to want to be aware of and what's out there. But it's just basically the bottom line is it just is another indicator of why what we do for a living matters. I mean, every time we sell a reverse osmosis system or drinking water system, it reduces the amount of plastic that goes into, into water bottles. But remember, it's not just reverse osmosis systems. When you sell a water softener, and this is something that a lot of times I think a lot of things get missed in our industry, that when you sell a water softener, if you are appropriately doing your job, and this is the important thing, okay? Because people are out there, they're selling water softeners, drinking water systems, reverse osmosis, or drinking water systems. Of course, we know it cuts down on bottled water consumption, right? We know that that is a way to help a family reduce the amount of plastic water bottles. Most salespeople who talk about reverse osmosis or drinking water systems will use, they'll discuss that. That's pretty common. What I think is far less common is the fact that when you put in a water softener, you can reduce your soap consumption by 75%, by three quarters. You can, as much as three quarters, depending on how hard your water is, you can really drop that soap consumption dramatically. if you're using less soap, you're using less plastic to store the soap. You're losing, it really makes a difference. Don't forget that plastics are it's far more than just our water bottles. It's the soap. It's the cleaners that we use. The thing that says, for hard water scum in your shower, use daily. You know, the ones that you go through once a week or once every 2 weeks to spray your shower down so that it doesn't have that. But all the cleaners that people use to address the hard water issues. So not only, if we put in that water softener, it actually does, it can contribute that to the reduction of plastics. But only if our customers are aware of that. I mean, I know you guys have, some of you that have been in homes that have, for a little while have gone out there and seen customers that have had a water softener for years that they're not reducing the amount of soap they're using. They're still doing the same thing. They're still filling their compartment up in their dishwasher, for both cups in their dishwasher. They're still using the spray stuff. They're still using a lot of laundry detergent. So it's our responsibility to tell them about that and make sure that they are aware that they can reduce it. That's where I know a lot of veteran sales professionals don't like to use it, but that the soap flask, shaking the soap flask is a relevant demonstration. And I think if you remember back to how impressed you were with it the first time you saw it, okay, the problem is salespeople, they do it over and over and over and over again, and then they start to justify it to themselves. Well, those people had a water softener for 20 years. They already know the benefits of soft water. No, they don't. They know that it gives them soft skin, maybe. They know it doesn't give them that it reduces the scale buildup on their faucet. They don't think about the plastic reduction or the impact it has on the environment or the energy independence, because we use more oil to manufacture, recycle, and transport our plastics than we do in our cars. Anyway, it's a little bit of a soapbox there, but hopefully something that will remind you if you haven't been talking about all the ways putting in an entire whole house system can benefit you, then I would encourage you to begin to do so or to start doing so again. Okay. Now with that, I'm going to, start to call off the way I do most weeks, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week they wish they had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything that we can help you with? Any questions anybody has?
I do have a question. Any way to take care of iron-reducing bacteria besides the chlorination system?
Ozone? We'll do it.
Copper pipe.
So, do we know, is the iron bacteria? Tell me about the iron bacteria.
I don't know yet. This was a question a guy emailed me, and he's wanting a quote via email. Like, yeah, that's not easy to do with iron reducing bacteria. He sent me his lab test, and I'm like, that's a little more custom, because we're looking at chlorinating it. So that's all I know so far.
But I mean, iron bacteria is, I got to tell you, it's one of the most commonly misdiagnosed things out there. People think that just because you have a lot of iron or iron buildup in the back of you open up the toilet and you get this wet brown iron sludge sticking to the back of the toilet, people will, oh, that's iron bacteria. And I don't know why exactly, but if it's bacterial, you'll know it's bacterial. It has these, it's like a, you get this oil slick over the top of the water, and you get these mushroom-like globule things, this gelatinous stuff sticking to the back of the toilet bowl. That's different than just having a lot of iron in the water. But yet, because you have this wet iron sludge in the back of the toilets. I've ridden with salespeople where they go out there and they stick their finger, run it along the back, and go, "Yeah, this is bacterial," and which sounds like this scary thing. And it just is, it's not uncommon to have iron bacteria. It's just a lot less common to have it than what a lot of people think.
Test that iron reducing bacteria present.
They're lab tested?
Yeah.
Okay, so they probably have it then. Chlorinating the well will make it go away for a little while.
Right.
Probably if they've got an ongoing consistent problem with it, they've got a problem with the well. It's leaking oxygen. You know, bacteria generally needs oxygen there, so it's getting
mm-hmm.
oxygen into the well somehow. But yeah, a chlorine drip, a peroxide drip, ozone would do it. There are, the problem with iron bacteria is that you got to treat it before the rest of the treatment because you can't use the UV on the water because it's gonna coat the UV bulb. So yeah, mm-hmm. some sort of an oxidizer is, and then chlorinating the well. You know, sometimes chlorinating the well will make it go away long term if it was just if the well had sat for a really long time or something like that, then you can make it.
Sure. Because typically, my theory is chlorinating the well, if there's an issue, it's not going to take care of it for long. But if it's set for a long time.
Yeah, it's a temporary fix, yeah.
And
does anybody else have any suggestions on that or run into that a lot?
Kelly, a lot of people in the Midwest use peroxide injection over chlorine.
Yeah.
It seems to work better.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So a peroxide drip or a chlorine drip, I agree, yeah. Okay, anybody else have anything? Thank you, Stacy. Anybody else have anything? All right, so we did have a topic today. You would not know it where I'm sitting today because it got cold again. but spring is in the air. It's April, you guys. We've started second quarter, and it's like this optimism that is just out there because we're rounding the corner. Like there's been spikes in certain areas of the country on this daggone virus thing, but a lot of people are getting vaccinated, it feels like we're getting closer to coming back to normal. I talked to Tanya Lubner yesterday at the national. Regarding the convention in July in Vegas, and it looks like that is moving forward. They passed the deadline, the cancellation deadline, which was kind of nice. So it looks like things are actually going to start. You may not be 100% yet, but they're going to start getting back to normal again, and that's all exciting. So what are you doing to enjoy the spring, to spring back, if you will. For what activities are we doing? And I just wanted to take the last 15 minutes of today and come up with some ideas on what we can do in the spring, to generate that business, to develop our territories, to get back out there and actually do the work. So Corey, I saw when you put together the email, are you on, Corey? Oh, Corey,
yeah,
made
I'm
it
on.
I didn't, oh, there you are. Okay. I saw you put together the email and you had some great ideas kind of bullet pointed there. Do you feel comfortable sort of throwing a couple ideas out there and if you guys have questions, pick one. Corey had a list of ideas that he put out there. Pick one if you want to know more detail about it or how we get some ideas on how we might do them. And if you have a couple ideas that are not on this list that Corey has, then throw them out there and let's talk about them a little bit. So, Corey, what were a couple that you had listed?
Well, I think the first one, kind of the one that we try to get people to do the most is water clinics. I'm not actually sure I put that on the email, but, just having an outdoor water clinic. I did one with a aquarium shop where it was all outside on the sidewalk. And especially during COVID, I mean, being outside, I think, is key for that sort of stuff. And I think it'd be super easy to, even to put a piece of plexiglass above the 6-foot, folding table. It'd be just a really easy way to do something and actually get people to your tent, to come to you instead of going to them. Another one that I kind of just thought of was some sort of lunch and learn, where especially an outdoor lunch and learn, I think that would be safer for a lot of concerned people out there, where you have the you go over a topic. I think Kelly, you and I did this, something like this, with a bunch of realtors here in Iowa. And you bring a quiz, and it's just a really fun way to teach people about water quality, not even so much about the company you work for or anything like that, but just about water quality in general. Or any sort of outdoor event. And I only say outdoor stuff because of, all the COVID stuff going on right now. But there's still plenty of things you can do inside or canvassing. So, do you have any suggestions on those?
Well, I was wondering, so I want to come back and talk about a couple of those, especially if anybody have questions, give a little more detail. But what else what is everybody else doing in the spring to get out there and kind of generate that business that you're not necessarily doing in the wintertime?
I tend to do more hitting new construction areas and putting hang tags on pre-plums in new construction. I don't tend to do that as often in the winter.
Yeah. I remember this time of year when I was out canvassing new construction, this was the time that I had to buy totes, because you get, you walk up to the construction site and they tend to get very muddy. So, but and then be careful where you park, because this was the time of year, this in the fall in my area, because it was very rural. This time could be really dangerous because the ground would look frozen. In fact, it would be frozen in the morning time and you go out there by noon and it's thawed and there were a couple times let's just say I developed a pretty good relationship with Nelson's Towing in my area, because there were a few times I had to get pulled out. You're right. Those houses that they started 4 months ago are now starting to get, they're coming nearer to completion. And think about this when it comes to new construction, even if, for some of you who work in areas where there's a lot of new construction, but the homeowners are not directly involved with the job. Maybe they have a site contractor or, a manager on the site who's managing all the contractors and all of that. I can promise you that as it starts to get nicer, as the weather is turning nicer, people are taking drives. And if they are a month or two away from completing their homes, those homeowners are driving out there on a regular basis, taking a look at the progress. They have to be, because they're coming out and now they're participating in picking the fixtures and the cabinet knobs and the colors and stuff like that. So driving by those homes gives you a much better opportunity as they get closer to get in personal contact with the homeowner, to at least let them know that it's there, to reach out to them. So yeah, this is the perfect time to really refocus on that new construction and the building of those homes. Absolutely.
Now, Kelly,
Corey.
So when I would drive by those new homes and everything, what I always used to do was have a cooler in the back of my truck, fill it with bottled water. And if there were construction crews or the builder or anything like that, it would, I'd give them the logoed bottled water and that sort of thing, just to kind of, you know, to give them something while I'm there. So, and initiate conversation. Now, I'm not sure if anyone still does this after COVID and everything. I'm sure in my area in the Midwest, people wouldn't really care too much about if I still did that. But I know in like New York, it might be a different story, right? So is that still something you think we could do?
So a lot of, for some of you out there that are may not know, a lot of companies will private label bottles. So they have little sport bottles with their private label on it, you know, with that says the name of their company or their brand. You know, with bottled water, if it's sealed, I think that people would be receptive to it even here. You know, if it's bottled water, the thing with the bottled water is I've always been a little bittersweet, you know, I go back and forth on that because, you know, we started this call off today talking about plastic reduction, you know, and reducing the plastic. And it's, I love the idea. I think I taught you that idea, Corey. So, you know, it's like you almost have to have something to show the quality of water and, you know, to walk up and give them some ice cold water is, you know, especially when it gets hot, you know, when they're out there working and it's hot and it is a way to sort of introduce yourself to them. So I don't think there would be a problem with it. I have struggled with that a little bit more because of the plastic water bottles. You know, I don't know. Anybody else have thoughts? Anybody else ever done that? What are your thoughts on handing out bottled water when you're at construction sites? I love the idea because it really gets you in the door and allows you to walk up there and start a conversation. They stop sometimes and talk to you, especially if you're talking to somebody like a builder or a homeowner. So I think you probably do get more value out of it. Americans are still buying bottled water. I think I'm just hyper aware of the extra plastic this particular week. I don't know. But who else has thoughts on that?
Kelly, I've taken a case of water to the actual people that are in the model homes because the guys on the site, they love the water, but they've got nothing to do with getting me in the door. So I take it to the person that can get me in front of the customer.
Yeah, that's true too, Chris. I completely agree with you on that, although I agree with you about getting to the customer. I disagree that the guys on the site will be can't have some, you know, these are the ones that see you. They're the ones that can throw away your literature or the brochure or your business card. You know, they're the ones that can also give you an idea of what time the builder or the homeowner typically show up. You know, so it's sometimes I agree they're not. You know, and sometimes they're not even speaking necessarily the same language as you. So,
well, yeah, let me preface that by saying if I'm going to a huge site where there's multiple homes, that's where I take it to the main office. But if it's one home, one builder, and there's a bunch of guys on crew, yes, it's a different scenario. Correct.
Good. Absolutely. So, yeah, good. And the model, getting that in a model home is awesome. Right, because now you're talking to the salesperson too. That might be in there, and you make friends with them. And if they're handing that out for everybody who's coming and viewing the home, that's a great idea. Did you? Good deal.
Yeah.
Let's go back real quick in the last 5 minutes here and talk about a couple things that you talked about, Corey, with the water clinic. You know, we don't have time to go into the full detail. I think we usually do a water clinic episode of this call just about every year, and we might be due to do that again just as a reminder because it really is a great way of getting in front of those customers. And, you know, activity creates productivity, and especially if you have an area where you know that there's a problem that you can test for. So when I was in sales way back when, Tony, I know you're on the call, you helped me with a couple of these, I think, when we did the arsenic issue came out and we had the ability to test for arsenic. In my book, in fact, I have color pictures of a day that we did a four-hour water clinic from 10 to 2. And this all this took was setting up we got one of those easy up canopies with a table, and We did have some bottled water that we were handing out and just some sheets. And we had well over 100 people that day come in 4 hours. We sold over 15 units from just that 4 hours where people, we just printed up flyers. It was in a little strip plaza. We were out on the grass, had a banner hanging up that said free arsenic testing Saturday between 10 and 2. And people were coming and just lining up to have us test for arsenic. I mean, it was incredible, an incredible success. Now, Jen and I both have participated. What's that? Go ahead.
Those people were showing up and then going home and getting their water and coming back.
That's right. That's exactly right.
They just wanted the peace of mind to know that stuff was safe. And, man, what an introduction. They're coming to you. And that was an awesome day.
Yeah, it was. That was one of the more successful ones. We've had others where I remember being actually in, Chris, we were talking about Lancaster a while ago. I did one with a client in Lancaster with a guy there, and we did 4 hours, and it rained all day long, and it was cold, and we didn't have a single person show up. So I wish I could say that they all have been successful. But generally speaking, when you do them, you'll have 5 to 10 people in that 4 hours that will bring water to you. And my question is, even if it's two people that bring you a water sample, what else are you doing on a Saturday or in an evening, you know, from 4 to 6 or 5 to 7, where people are going to bring you their water and say, I have a concern with my water? Corey, you're absolutely right that, you know, in a socially distanced world, that is one of the perfect activities to do, you know, to get out there and meet those people. I mean, to have people actually bring you a sample, say, hey, I'm concerned with my water. Will you test it for me? I mean, what else are you doing that creates that and makes that happen, especially something that has no cost associated to it, really, other than a couple supplies, you know, a couple like that canopy and the, you know, things like that. Maria, I think you did something similar at like a fair or a show. You did like a farmer's market, right? What would you do differently, Maria? I know we only have a couple minutes, but it was essentially a water clinic. You rented that farmer's market. What would you do differently than what you did last summer with that farmer's market?
So part of the problem was you couldn't – I would love to have given out reverse osmosis water. That would be – you weren't allowed to give out samples. So it was basically only talking to people. It was hard because people at the time hadn't been out, hadn't been shopping. So they were very excited to be out and shopping, and they really weren't interested in talking about what I had. I mean, I had some interest, but it would have been good if I could give out water because, again, it's hot. But unfortunately, so maybe this year I could do that, you know, with samples.
Yeah. Yeah, and part of that too was that it was the same place every week in and week out. So a lot of the same people came, right? So it was I remember you had some success the first, but that was like 6 weeks that you did that, right?
Right, in the beginning, because then it's the same people coming to the same area over and over again. So people would come up, but again, it would have been so much better if in the hot summer you could give out cold reverse osmosis water. That would have just been so much better. But
So if, you know, that's one of the things that you might do is to take, you know, have different, you know, have different locations. So I think we're probably due here pretty soon to do a full water clinic session here. But, you know, to go in and to talk more detail about some of those on how to put that together, because it's one that it really can generate some opportunities for you. Final comments in the last minute, 2 minutes here. Any other final thoughts or questions about all of this?
Kelly, I have one more idea.
Go ahead.
Here where we were, where I am, we have the community has, the library actually puts on a community meal every 3 or 4 months. And it's real big in the summertime because it's a big barbecue. So, you know, the local Hy-Vee will cater and grill burgers, brats, everything like that. We were the water people at the event. So, you know, you have 300 or 400 people show up for this free meal. And every single person saw, you know, we helped every single person with water, and it allowed us to talk to them. So just a real simple thing. It wasn't necessarily a sales thing, more of a, you know, just getting our name out there event. But it's still, I mean, it was still pretty cool, and people remembered it.
Excellent. Excellent.
Hey, so any event like that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Time, but races right now, sponsoring a race or even getting in, all races typically have a package or a bag for the racers beforehand when they register.
Oh.
Getting something in their bags, they're healthy, they're health conscious, they're out there, and a lot of times we would set up a table. I'd get a 5-gallon bottle with a FlowJet pump and fill their cups up as they go by or have somebody doing that. But you get in their bags, and again, that's your perfect audience that you want out there. So look for community races or something like that
great
to get involved
idea.
In.
5Ks. That's a really great idea to sponsor 5Ks and get them out there. That's a great idea. People are doing that in the spring. Absolutely. Nice. Good. Way to throw that in right at the very last, Tony. It was like better, definitely have it. Guys, any other ideas that you have, please shoot us an email or thoughts, or if you have questions or want more detail about any of this stuff, please let us know that too. Listen, I'm on behalf of the Motor Vitality team, I'm so thrilled and honored that you guys take your time every Thursday morning and join us. So thank you very much. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody.
Thanks.